Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Chris, sad day, man.
Yes, it is, Brent. For anybody that has had the pleasure of listening to John over the years, or meeting with him, or visiting with him, and just, I can't imagine. And Tennessee's had some pretty darn good ambassadors over the years, Pat Summitt, Peyton Manning. But is there one that's touched more people more profoundly than John Ward over the last 40-some years? I mean, you talk about a guy that was the link for Tennessee fans, and I'm not just talking about athletics. He really was highly instrumental in broadening the whole the entire Tennessee brand, when regionally, statewide, everything. And he... Philip Fulmer said it best today, that he was one of us. Talking about, he was a Tennessee guy, part of the Tennessee family, and I think that's why he was so beloved. Is, you know, for parts of four decades, he was the eyes and ears for so many people. And people my age get this, certainly older. You know, when you're were following college sports in the 70s and even the 80s, very few games were on television. You know, John Ward is the one that painted the picture for you. You know, Larry Munson, the same with Georgia, Kaywood Ledford, Kentucky. And you hung on every word. I mean, I give you a great example. My introduction to Tennessee, I didn't grow up in Tennessee, but my introduction to UT and the Vols was the mid-70s with Grunfeld and King in basketball. And my dad telling me about this, you know, this incredible duo with Tennessee, the Ernie and Bernie show. And he said, you know, at nights, even outside Charlotte where I was growing up, you can get WNOX in Knoxville sometimes. On our old, we had that old stereo, you know, where you'd reach down in and you slid the dial and you could reach it. It was crackly, you know. And that was my introduction to Tennessee, was John Ward describing the exploits of Bernard King and Ernie Grunfeld. You know, I never saw those guys play, but I felt like I knew everything about them because I listened to John Ward. And he was a massive inspiration and influence on me. And I've told him that, and I, really one of the great blessings of my recent life is I had a chance recently to tell him that, what he meant to me. And I know there's so many other people that he's touched. And just think of all the people like you, Brent, that have gone on into the business, that either grew up in Tennessee, grew up listening to John, and went to school in Tennessee. You got Mike Keith right there in Nashville to the Titans. Bob Kessling was they were both proteges of John here in Knoxville. Brent Hubbs, Ryan McGee, one of my colleagues at ESPN, Mike Moore, who worked forever at ESPN. You go on and on and on. Courtney Lyle, Neil Price, you know, who's a play-by-play guy now for Mississippi State. Dave Nathan, who's with the Tar Heel Broadcast Network. All these people, in some way, shape, or form, were touched by John, inspired by John. And he set such an incredible standard that we all felt. I know I felt, I won't say pressure, but felt just out of respect for him, to live up to, because of just how good and how professional. And I tell you, you always knew that you were one of John's guys or gals if he called you a pro. You know, he's a pro. I can still hear him talking about Haywood Harris. God bless Haywood Harris' soul. But he'd always say, Haywood Harris is a pro. And if he called you a pro, you knew you'd made it with John Ward.
Chris, we had Mike Keith on for our first hour of the show, and it's just fascinating to listen to Mike tell stories about him. And one of the questions I asked Mike was, and this is, I feel like, a hard one for everyone to answer, but what did you, if you had to pick the one thing that you learned or you took from him professionally, what would it be?
That's an easy one, Dawn. Preparation and doing your homework.
And that's basically what Mike said, too. Focus. Yep.
In preparation, doing your homework, being prepared. He used to always say, don't show up empty-handed. And you don't just show up at a game and call the game. It goes much deeper than that. And of course, that was more from a play-by-play perspective. But the same goes if you're going to go cover a game, if you're going to come on a talk show, if you're going to do your own show. you got to be prepared. You talk to people. You know, you reach out and you glean information. You read as much as you can. You learn as much as you can. You know, John was very well read. You know, worldly traveler. He and his wife Barbara traveled all over the country. In fact, I was so fortunate over the years that he shared some of these stories with me. One of my favorite stories with John is he and Barbara were traveling just outside Paris, I think, and they were on the Orient Express. And they'd met a couple from Canada during their trip, and they were having dinner with that couple one evening. And the train was just getting ready to pull out there in the dinner car. And a guy gets on just before it pulls out. He walks by John's table, and he stops, and he looks down at John, and he goes, "Bottom!" And he just kept walking on, never said another word. I mean, and that's and there are others, too. I mean, he told me, I had a chance to sit down with him that his last year he did the football broadcast in 98 when I was still with the Tennessean and did a huge story on him. And he was just telling all these stories. And John was such a gracious man, and he loved the fans. Even though he was a little, by his own admission, a little quirky, a little goofy, he didn't really seek the spotlight, but boy, he was so gracious with the fans. And he told me this story, and he started to break up as he told it to me, about a man who came up to him during a speaking engagement or somewhere John was speaking, and asked him, "Would you mind coming over with me to my wife, and she would like to take a picture with you?" So John said, "Sure." So he goes over to this lady. She's in a wheelchair. She's invalid. She's not able to walk. And she looks up at John, and she says, "We used to go to the games all the time, but now I can't go. But I listen to you every game on the radio, and it's still just like it was." And as John was recounting the story to me, his voice started to crack, and he started to break up. And he looked at me, and he said, "How do you respond to something like that?" He says, "You talk about just absolutely something, all the hairs on my arm stood up." He said, it's just one of those things that you can't explain. And that's, to me, that, you know, that puts in perspective what he meant to so many people. Because again, it was in the 70s and 80s, very few games were on television. And John, and I said this earlier today, whether you're in the seediest honky tonk up in Upper East Tennessee or the swankiest country club out in Memphis, on fall Saturday afternoons, John Ward's voice was the soundtrack for all of Tennessee.
So well said, Chris. We could spend hours with you. We certainly appreciate the time and the perspective. Tennessee loses a legend, certainly, and beautifully put, my friend.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me.